Father, bless these words to our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear and impart life to us from your throne. In Jesus' name.
There are young people, I think, face certain things because of being young. Now, there is a misconception today that young people face certain things because of the time we are living in. That's nonsense. There is nothing new under the sun. There is no temptation such as is not common to man. So to say, and the culture today likes to do this, oh, young people, you have it so much harder than everybody else. That's baloney. You are facing exactly the same things that everybody has faced at your age. A lot of it has to do with your biology. A lot of it has to do with the development of your mind. The mind does not develop fully until you're in your mid-20s from a biological perspective. A lot of it has to do with cultural issues that may vary a little bit in points, but not in their essence. In their detail they may differ, but the essence is the same. Why? Because there is nothing new under the sun. And there is no temptation that has befallen you such as is not common, not ordinary. It's not something that everybody does not face. I think very frequently there's a tendency with young people because of a lack of experience to say, oh, this is just me. No, it's not just you. It is everyone. You are human beings and you have an experience and a condition that belongs to human beings. You are growing. I think there is frequently a time when young people want to say, no one understands me. Or they will say something, I am unique. I think the temptation to say, like you hear a message and you say, I am different. The message doesn't really pertain to me. I am different. My circumstance is different. Either I'm not good enough or I'm better than that. I'm not good enough for this message. Or it doesn't apply because I won't give in. Like if the pastor preaches conviction, sometimes you say to, I won't give in. Oh, so you don't have an old sin nature. Is that right? Oh, you must be the sibling of Jesus. God had a second only begotten son. No, if you are human, you are not immune. I am not immune, you are not immune. Never say to yourself, I am immune, this is not for me, I will not fail in this way when conviction comes in a message. You will fail if you are so proud as to ignore the conviction that was sent by God to protect you. You see, Paul said we don't even know our own hearts. We don't know the spirit we are of. They thought they knew the spirit of the James. Hey, shall we kill him, Jesus? You don't know the spirit you're of. You don't know your heart. You don't know your spirit. The message comes from the pulpit by the anointing of the Holy Spirit as delivered by God to the messenger for your protection, your edification, your correction when it's necessary, and your growth. Don't ignore the message saying it doesn't apply to me, or I won't, or I'm not good enough, I can't. That's a lie. Pastor Stevens, who was the greatest preacher I've ever heard, bar none, had an interesting statement that he made on radio this week in a tape message. He said, if you are not thinking with the Word of God, you are already deceived. Do you understand that? If you are not thinking with the Word of God, if this mind is not in you that was in Christ Jesus, if you are not thinking with the Word of God, you are already deceived. Not you may become deceived. Been there, done that, you already are. Do you understand that? The importance of the Word of God to your life is paramount. Now, today we're going to talk about this one topic, that many of you, because you are younger, face in a perhaps more intense way than those who are a little bit older. And we're going to talk about the topic of friendships. Pastor Stevens was a great wise man. The reason why he was wise is because he knew the Word of God and he knew how to be led by the Spirit in using that Word. If you're not led by the Spirit in using the Word, you have a sword with no training. It's like giving a gun and not training someone how to use it. That's very dangerous. But if you have a sword and you know how to use it, then that sword becomes a great source of protection and a great tool. But only if you are led by the Spirit of God and the way that you use it. Otherwise, it can kill people. That is wisdom. When you know how to apply the Word of God, you take what you hear from your pastor and you know how to apply it. And your pastor teaches you how to apply the Word of God. And today we're going to talk about what the Word of God has to say about friendship. So let's turn to Proverbs 18. Pastor Stevens once said, every young person, and he had more experience with young people than anybody I know. He was excellent with them. He was a preacher for over 50 years. Memorized the Bible, verse and chapter, and even a lot of the original language. And he preached for over 50 years. This man had great experience. And he had thousands upon thousands of people that he counseled and spoke with and helped in their lives. And this is what he said about friendships in one aspect. Every young person who has ever gone wrong went wrong because of another person. Every young person who has ever gone wrong went wrong because of another person. That was a friendship that developed that was not of God. And that friendship fed in that person something that was ungodly. But Satan is not stupid. He knows how to make the ungodly feel good. And so they went after it because it satisfied something in their heart that was not meant to be satisfied in that way. And they went after it and they became wrong because they pursued that which was not from God for their lives. Every time that you pursue that which is not from God for your life, you have what the Bible calls an idol. An idol is something that you put ahead of God in your life. That Bible says that idolatry is as the sin of witchcraft, as Satan worship. So every time that I put something ahead of God in my life, it is like Satan worship. Every time I pursue something that God did not give to me, but I want it anyway, so I'm going to get it, even if I do it outwardly or if I do it in secret, there is no secret thing before God. It is like Satan worship. It's very important that you do not pursue the things that are not from God. Be extremely careful. Satan will try to bring you friendships that are not from God, but they will look good to you, but they're not good. Let's take a look how this works. In Proverbs 18:24, the Word of God says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That is not a good translation. You would think that that would make sense. If I'm going to have friends, I have to be friendly, don't I? It sounds good, but that's not what it says. That's a mistranslation. The word friendly there is rea. Okay, that's the original word, rea. And it means to be bad. The man who has a lot of friends must be bad. It means to do wrong, to break something in contrast with making it whole. The man who has friends has to damage and not make whole. It means to do evil. The man who has many friends must be a man who is willing to do evil. Now, in the Amplified, it says, the man of many friends, a friend of all the world, will prove himself a bad friend. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And in the American Standard, it says, he that maketh many friends, get this, listen to this carefully. This is actually the closest to the original meaning. He that maketh many friends doeth it to his own destruction. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If you are godly, if you love God, if you want to have a friendship that God loves, you will not have many friendships. That sounds like a downer, but it's not really. You will not have many friendships. Because in order to have many friendships, you have to be someone who's willing to give away God, because there are many people who are evil, although they may look good. I spoke with a man this week. He's a nice man. I had a professional exchange with him, doing a little bit of business possibly, was the thought. But this man, although he is a nice man, he has a pleasant personality. He speaks well, he's kind. He is evil. He is someone who is anti-God with a nice personality. The person who wants many friends will have to yield, compromise their convictions and become a little bit anti-God, a little bit evil, in order to maintain. But he's a nice guy. I like him on a person. I think he's a nice guy, but a little bit evil. You can't have a man like that as a friend. Why? Because he'll take away from you. Now in Proverbs 27:17, the Word of God says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You understand what that means? That friend who is of God will strengthen you. And they will make you a stronger believer. They will make you a better Christian. And I don't mean so much in do good, be good. I mean they will help you in building your character. They will help you in building who you are in Christ. And they will draw you near to God. And so the friends that you want are the friends that will draw you near to God. You do not want the friends who will draw you away. You want the friends who will draw you near to God. Even teenagers, I teach at a high school. I see this all the time with my Christian students. You can tell which ones are and which ones are not. They make friends with those who are not of God, even though they don't seem bad. But you can see slowly, one year after another year, they are drawn away from God. To love the world is to be an enemy of God. That's what James said. To love the worldly system, to love the worldly ways, is to be an enemy of God. I don't want to be an enemy of God. So I choose for myself friends that love God and that are not His enemy. Because if it is a Christian who is operating outside of the will of God, it doesn't matter. They are operating in Satan's kingdom. The only difference between what's called a carnal Christian, in other words, a Christian who lives in natural thinking, The only difference between the carnal Christian and the unbeliever is one is saved, the other is not. But they are both operating, like functioning, in the same wrong kingdom. They're both functioning in Satan's kingdom. They may have a nice personality. Satan was charming to Eve. She liked him. She wanted to hang around him. She kept the serpent as a pet. She thought he was great. Made her feel good. Gave her empty promises. But then he destroyed her. Don't hang around those who are not like-minded with the Spirit of God. They will be very damaging in your lives. You want those who are iron that sharpens iron. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Word of God says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." That's not just marriage. Certainly marriage is a part of it. But that's not just marriage. And by the way, unbeliever there does not mean unsaved. The word there is apistos. It is the opposite of pistos. Pistos is those who have faith. Do not be yoked. Do not get into a relationship, into a friendship, into any kind of a union, whether it's business, friends, marriage, a hangout. Do not get into this relationship with those people who are opposite of faith. Those who do not have confidence and assurance towards God for their own lives. Those are unbelievers. It doesn't say heathen here. It says unbeliever. That is an unequal yoke. In an unequal yoke, there will be a strong ox and a weak ox. The weak ox will break its leg. The strong ox will break its neck. So the yoke is always very quickly broken. If you are a spiritual believer, if you are growing in Christ, if you are growing in the grace and knowledge of God, and you hook up with somebody who is a carnal believer, who does not have faith, who does not think the way that you have been taught from the Word of God, then your neck will be broken. And the neck speaks of the volition. Your volition will be broken, and their capacity for a life with God will be broken. So they will break your volition, and you will break their hope of ever really knowing the Savior in a practical sense. So you never hook up with unbelievers. Your relationship to unbelievers is this: win them to Christ. By the way, young ladies, you never try to win by personal investment a boy. You never try to win a boy. Do you know why? You won't win him. He may tell you what you want to hear, but it will be deception. This is the reason. God designed girls and women to respond. God designed men, boys, to initiate. A woman cannot change her design. A leopard will not change his spots. No, really, think about it. A leopard cannot change the way God made him. God made him in this way, where he has spots, or a tiger with his stripes, or a young girl or a young woman to respond. Ladies, if you think that you can change your ability to respond whereby you will not respond, you're already deceived. You weren't made that way. You don't have that ability. You were not made that way. You will respond to the initiation that you allow to be given to you. If it is the wrong initiation, you will not be able to help it. It will not be something that you want. It will be something that simply happens. Because you cannot change your design. God made you in a very specific way for a very specific purpose. You can't change it. Ladies, be very careful who you allow to initiate and what you allow to be initiated to you. If some boy comes along and he starts initiating to you, say no. Why? It's not from God. If he continues to initiate to you, then you know the enemy has sent him. Look out for him. Get away from him. He is dangerous. You may think that you will not operate in the way that God made you. You won't have the choice. It's not a volition issue. It's a design issue. You won't have the choice. And you will be changed by Him. And it will not be a good change. Satan is very patient. And he knows exactly what to tell you. Just like he knew exactly what to tell Eve. Do not ever think that he will not make a bid for your life. Even as a believer, he will make one bid after another. Don't let him. Cut it off right at the beginning. Don't hang out with him. Don't talk to him. Don't do whatever it is. If you're in the same class with him, sit on the opposite side of the room if you can. And if you can't, just don't even say a word. Why? Because there is a kingdom that has sent someone. You don't want them in your life. Be very careful. If you respond, if you entertain it, whether you want to or not, you will respond. You can't help it. Do not be unequally yoked with those who are not faithful toward God. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Do not be unequally yoked with these people. They will break your volition and you will break their ability to have a life with God. In Proverbs 22:24, the Word of God says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." So make no friendship. The word friendship is re'a. It's not the same as the other one. It's re'a. It's to associate with. Don't associate with them. Don't be a companion. It's to associate, to be a companion, to be a friend. Don't be a friend to them. You may have a sentimentality towards someone where you say, "Oh, this person, if they just got the right investment, they would be fine." But you don't know the spirits. You don't know the spirits. You don't know the hearts. You don't know that they will be fine. And if they would be fine, then God would send the right person to invest in them. Do you understand? It's not like God's going to ignore them. But it is a question of who is the right person to go and minister Christ to them. If you are a young woman, the boy is not the person you are going to be investing in. That's not right from God. That's completely wrong. That's not how it works. God will send another guy to invest in him if God sees that his heart would respond. He will not send a girl. Don't confuse yourself into thinking that perhaps because you have maybe a caring of people that you can change them. You can't. Make no friendship, association, friendship, companionship. This indicates a relationship of friendship between persons, or to live in an area or develop associations with the person of the land. It indicates a person who regularly associates with a group of persons, a companion, an associate, a friend, sharing common ideas and activities. Like you're in high school, and some guy or girl is in a club, and you kind of like, you kid yourself a little bit, you lie to yourself a little. I'll get in that club, I'll do it for the club, I won't do it for the guy or the girl. I'll do it for the club. You're lying to yourself. No, you're doing it for the guy or the girl. You're lying to yourself. And notice that when it does happen, your attitude and your mindset changes a little bit because that person's there. Maybe you'll get made up a little extra that day. And in your head, oh, they're going to be there. Maybe they're going to like the way that I look. And you're trying to get their attention. You're already deceived. Don't do that. It's not of God. It's your destruction. It's a line and a worm and a hook, and it's drawing you in. You're already responding. That's the thing. You're already responding. Stop responding to a friend like that, because they are not your friend. They are not your friend. It says, with an angry man, do not have a friendship. With a furious man, you shall not go. Furious is the word hema, and it means wrath, heat, heat of rage, anger, hot displeasure, indignation. Get this, poison. It means poison or rage. It's a poisonous emotion. Do not be the friends of a man, of a person. Doesn't have to just be a man, by the way. It can be a woman too. But the Bible, usually when it speaks of people, it says man. Don't be a friend of those who have a poisonous emotion, who infect you with their flattery or interest or words or activities or disposition, or maybe they're just cool, who infect you. And you know that you are infected when you start making decisions on the basis of that person, when it is the wrong person. I think young women are particularly susceptible to this because they are responders, and there's a boy they like. I saw this week. There's a boy they like. And they'll change themselves just a little bit for that boy. They'll only do it a little bit so they can still lie to themselves. But they're already being infected by the poisonous emotion. This is a person you do not make a friend of. This is a person you get away from. They are not good for you. They are dangerous for you. Satan was poisonous to Eve, although she really liked him. I mean, he was the most beautiful of all the beasts in the field, and she really liked him. Get away. Thou shalt not go, bo, interact. You will not interact. You have no interaction with him. How do young people interact? You don't go, like, you don't hang with him in the cafeteria. You don't text message or IM him or whatever it is that you do on the computers or Facebook or whatever they all have now, this new thing, Twitter or whatever it's called. You don't go there with them. You don't have that interaction. Okay, you don't interact with them. It is a poisonous emotion. It's poison. Beware of poison. It's bad for you. You wouldn't want to chew on some hemlock. Well, that's what people are doing, though. They're chewing on hemlock as they're having these interactions. And it's devastating. Hey, do you know why your mom and dad sometimes say to you, I don't like this person? Have you ever had that? Of course you have. Every young person has that. I don't like this person. They're not good for you. And you say to yourself, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. They're fine. No, they do know what they're talking about with experience. Been there, done that. Seen it happen before. They say, well, this is different. This is me and this is this other person. No, not so. Not different at all. There is nothing new under the sun. There is no temptation that has befallen you such as is not common to man. Not different at all. They know what they're talking about. You see, because they have more experience with God and more experience with people and more experience, get this, with young people than you may, they can see a little bit more clearly what the end result is than you can because you haven't been there yet. They have. It's like if I go to Chicago, I can come back and tell you what Chicago is like. But if I've never been to Chicago, it doesn't matter even if I read about it. I don't really know what it's like. They've been to Chicago. You have not. Your mom and dad tell you something like, hey, this person's bad news. Don't hang around this person. This is not a right person. You would be very wise to listen because God has put them in your life for your protection. So you would be very wise, even if you are a teenager, even if you are 20, 25 years old, and your 55-year-old mom or dad or however old they are come to you and they say, hey, listen, I don't think this is a good idea. Listen to what they have to say. They're not looking out for their own interests, trust me. They're looking out for yours. And they know what they're talking about. They can see things you are not able to see yet because you are young. When you are their age, you will be able to see these things equally well. But right now, you cannot. It's like taking a little league player or taking some Babe Ruth or some big name ball player and saying, okay, little league player, play as well as Babe Ruth. You can't do it. But Babe Ruth knows how to teach you to be as good as he is. This is what I'm talking about. If a little league player, let's say you have a little league football team and Ray Lewis comes and talks to the little league defense, do you think the little league player is going to say, hey Ray Lewis, I know better than you do about how to play defense? No, Ray Lewis knows a whole lot more about defense than any college kid does. Right? Listen to him when he has something to say. Well, your parents are like that also, young people. They have a whole lot more knowledge and a whole lot more wisdom and a whole lot more experience than you do. Teenagers, I think, particularly have a difficult time with this in this culture. Bill Cosby once said, my dad was the dumbest person I've ever met. He couldn't even finish a sentence. Why, you! But it's amazing, he said, because he got smarter the older I got. You know what? They have something. Listen to them. They have something. They know more. They see more. They understand more. I don't care if you're 20 years old. I don't care if you're 20. They still see more than you do. Use wisdom. Listen to them. It's called understanding. Why don't you want to be with these people? Lest you learn his ways. In verse 25 of Proverbs 22. You get around people like that and you will learn their ways. And the word learn there is elap, and it's to learn or in a causative sense to teach. They will teach you their ways. A little bit of rebellion, a little bit of ungodliness, a little bit not so godly around the edges as it used to be, a little bit less precise, a little bit less stable, a little bit more angry. You're learning their ways. You're learning their ways. Now get this next part. Lest you learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. And the snare, the word snare there is leka, it means to be seized, to be grasped, and to be captured. And that's what they do to your soul. In Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling. Those who are tempting you, mark them. And they are contrary to the doctrine that you have learned. They do not agree with the doctrine you have learned. They go opposite of the doctrine you have learned. Again, young people, one of the biggest issues especially for young women, is a young guy pursuing a young girl. And he says, hey, go out with me. And she's a godly girl. She says, no, I will not. And he says, hey, go out with me. And he'll lay off for a while. But then he'll do it again. Hey, go out with me. I think you're great. No, I will. Hey, go out with me again. Maybe he'll wait another. Hey, go out with me. You know what? Satan wearing down Eve. Satan wearing down Eve. This is a person who is going contrary to the doctrine you have learned. He's going contrary. Now, listen to this. The next verse in here. Oh, it says, okay, they go contrary to the doctrine and say, turn away from them. Turn away from them. Turn your back on them. Don't talk to them. Turn your back on them. For they that are such serve not the Lord Christ, but their own belly. They're not there for your benefit. They're there because they have an emotional wanting. They're serving their own emotions. They're self-serving. At least they are self-serving. And by their smooth and fair speech, they beguile the hearts of the innocent. Hey, young people, be careful about people like that. Often it's a guy with a girl. Sometimes it's a girl with a guy. Be careful about things like that. It's bad news. Bible says, turn. This is the word of God, by the way. Turn away from them. Oh, I won't do anything. Oh, but you don't understand your own design. You won't have the choice. See, it's not that you have the wanting. You won't have the choice. You won't have the option. You are designed in a certain way. You cannot change your biology and you cannot change what God has made you to be. Do you understand this, young people? You won't have the option. When you do this, you trust in the world and it destroys you. In 2 Kings 18. James 4:4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is to be an enemy of God? The worldliness, even if it's saved but worldly, it's enemy of God. It's enemy of God. Who do you want to be your friends anyway? The friends of God or His enemies? Like, think about it. Do you want it to be the friends of God or His enemies? In Deuteronomy 13:6, if your brother, the son of your mother, your son, your daughter, your wife of your, the wife of your bosom, or your friend who is as your own soul, in other words, you have common thoughts and common volition and common emotions, secretly entices you. And this is what happens. They secretly entice you. And this is what they will do. They will secretly entice you, saying, let us serve other gods which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers. And that there is not talking necessarily about your biological father. That's talking about your spiritual fathers. If you are being enticed to have another way of life, to have another thought, to have another way of doing things, that you have not prior to that time known, you and your fathers have not taught you this. It says, of the gods of the people which are all around you, the worldly crowd, near to you or far from you, it doesn't matter if you thought they were your best friend or if you thought a casual once a month acquaintance. From one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, you shall not consent to listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him. But you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. Now, I'm not saying that somebody's, and you go out and take a gun and shoot them. That's not what it means. But in your heart, they are dead to you. That's what it means. that person tries to entice you in your heart, they are dead to you. The moment it happens, you kill them. They become dead to you. This is how God said to do it, because it protects His children. It protects His children. Proverbs 9:6. Forsake the foolish and live. Forsake the foolish and live. Forsake those who do not have the wisdom of God and live. And go in the way of understanding. Understanding is wisdom that you get from another person. Go in the way of understanding. Forsake those who do not have the wisdom of God and live. Now folks, young people, older people too, sometimes your pastor will tell you something and it will sting. Or sometimes maybe your teachers who are godly, or maybe sometimes your parents will tell you something and it will sting and you won't like it. You can see that when it happens sometimes in people's faces as you sit in my seat and you talk and you share the Word of God. Sometimes you can see who got stung and they don't like it. You know what? That's your best friend. That's your very best friend. Why? Because in Proverbs 27 verse 6, the Word of God says that person is your friend. It says in Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Your pastor, your mom or dad, somebody who is Spirit-filled in your life, and usually that's frequently somebody who's a little bit older than you. Doesn't necessarily have to be, but often is. Someone who is Spirit-filled in your life says something and it stings you in your emotions. You don't like it. Don't get angry at that person. They're being your friend. Oh, they may not tell you what you want to hear, but their wounds are faithful. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The kisses of an enemy are not necessarily physical kisses. A kiss is that which causes you to submit your soul to the other person. This is why you don't kiss people. Your first kiss is going to be on the altar. Is that clear? This is why you don't kiss people. Because you're taking that person, you're saying to them in a very real way, I am now submitting my soul to you. And you will have authority over my soul. And this happens for both guys and girls. You will now have authority over my soul. Those kisses are deceitful. What are the kisses of an enemy? Flattering words are very frequently the kisses of an enemy. Things that make you feel one way, even though it is not of God. But you like the feeling. Those are the kisses of an enemy. That's called soul power relationship. Where they are reaching your emotions or your intellect or your self-image, your self-con, and they are literally manipulating that so that you will submit yourself to their desires. Those are the kisses of an enemy. You get kissed by an enemy, even if it is not a physical kiss. You know what? You slap them. And if you can't physically slap them because you're text messaging or whatever it is in class, you slap them. You hang up the phone, you turn off the computer, you walk away from them, and if they are present, you give them a big red welt on the side of their face. It doesn't have to be a physical kiss, just the wrong initiation. Because it is something in their desires of lust manipulating your soul. because they're grabbing a hold of your emotions and you're starting to respond to them, or maybe because they're manipulating your self-image and you're starting to respond to it because you like the way it makes you feel. Or maybe they're manipulating your intellect because you like the whole intellectual thing. Those are the kisses of an enemy, and it's deceitful. Young people, if you see kisses of an enemy, you do not receive them. If you receive them, you've given them authority over your soul. It's called soul power. Okay? You've given them authority over your soul. Be very careful about that. In Proverbs 28:23, he that rebukes a man afterwards shall find more favor than the one that flatters him with the tongue. Correct someone, and in the long run, you will have more favor than if you flatter them and destroy them as a result. Proverbs 20 verse 19, in the B part of the verse, I want you to pay very close attention because this is the number one kiss of the enemy. You ready? Meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Meddle not with the person that flatters you. And it doesn't have to be just with his mouth. It can be with the keyboard. Don't get into that game. Don't have anything to do with the flatterer. I always watch out. It doesn't happen to me very often. But once in a while it'll happen to me. I have no idea why. Somebody, I guess, thinks somehow they'll get something from me. And they'll flatter me. That's a huge red flag if somebody starts flattering me. That's a big, clear signal. Watch out for this person. They are bad news. Now, flattery is not the same as edification. Okay? There is a huge difference between flattery and edification. Edification is when someone who is spirit-filled receives a portion for you from God. Maybe it's simply a capacity to build you up, to care about you. Or maybe it's something that God literally imparts to their heart for you. And often, for example, pastors get this all the time. Every good pastor is an edifier. Or one way or another. They will get a portion from God to build you in the inner man. Okay? They get a portion from God to build who you are in Christ. They're not shooting for your emotions, albeit it might make you feel good. But they are building you on the inside into godliness. And they are building the godly elements that are present in your life. That's edification. Flattery is the person who builds you in the natural things. The one who says to you, "Oh, I think you're so wonderful, you're funny. Or I think you're handsome, I think you're so pretty. I think you're the biggest, best thing that's ever happened to me." That's flattery. Flattery is not love. Flattery is a self-serving attempt to purchase something from you. Okay? I give you flattery, you give me my desire. And again, young ladies, this happens very frequently with ungodly young men, saved or not. Happens very frequently. They will flatter you if you listen to it. Because of your design, you won't be able to help yourself but to respond. Don't listen to the flattery. You turn your back on them. They are dead to you. Don't listen to the flattery. Is that clear? Young ladies, is that clear? All of you, not just the little ones, the big ones too. Is that clear? You won't be able to help but to respond. The reason why I'm saying this specifically for young ladies, although guys, you are not immune, but I say this specifically for young ladies because this is a very big strategy that's used against young Christian women. It's a huge strategy. It is the most effective strategy there is flattery. You hear something like that that's building up your natural person, not who you are in Christ. It's a big red flag. This person wants something from me. And I'm not going to give it to him. Because it's not of God. God doesn't flatter. God edifies. Is it wrong to say to somebody, hey, you look nice today, if they're just... No. If that is all that you have, if that is the... If it's always the natural, it's flattery. There's one thing to... And it's also with a different spirit. I can say to you, hey, I like the way you look today. And I do it because I think it'll build you up and it's, you may look nice today. And it's a kind thing to say. So it's fine. But I can also say, hey, I think you look nice today with some desire from you. Playing to your emotions. Appealing to them so that you'll respond. That's soul power. Really bad news. Flattery is incredibly disgusting and it's destructive. Watch out for flattery. Proverbs 29:5, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. The man who flatters you is spreading a net, a trap for your feet. Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it, but a flattering mouth works ruin. The person who flatters works ruin in your life. Watch out for that. Now listen to this next portion. And then very briefly we'll talk about what is a right relationship. In Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 19. For a good man is not at home. The good man is the spirit-filled believer. Okay? For the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. The good man is not in heaven yet. The spirit-filled believer is not in his home. Guys, you are not at home. Even in your house, you're not at home. That's a tent. It's made of brick, but it's a tent. Or it's made of wood, but it's a tent. You're not at home there. Your home is New Jerusalem. Right now, you are on a journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. And that means the fruit of the Spirit, the rewards from God, things like that. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her, and this is the strange woman. Proverbs talks about the strange woman. By the way, who is the strange woman? It's not necessarily a woman. The strange woman is the person who tries to entice you, who tries to tantalize you, who tries to snare you, who tries to get you to do what they want you to do, who tries to appeal to your emotions or to your lust patterns. They may even try to appeal to your intellect if that's where your lust pattern lies. They might try to get you to like talk to them, be with them. They want something from you. The strange woman is the person who is not of God, who is trying to seduce or entice or whatever. That's the strange woman. With her, much fair speech caused him to yield, to give way, to let go a little bit of the convictions. Maybe not cross the line outright, but hey, let go a little conviction on the edges because it makes you feel good. That's a strange woman. With her, much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Do you see the danger of flattery? It's not that it just entices you. It actually pushes you. It forces you. And if you're a young lady, you're not going to be able to resist your design to respond. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. This is how the person who responds to the flattery is actually acting. It's like an ox to the slaughter, or someone to the, like nowadays, to prison, to be locked up and trapped and ensnared by this person. Till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare. It'll kill you. And knoweth not that it is for his life. The person who receives the flattery does not realize that it's an attempt to take away their life. Maybe not your biological life right away, but certainly your life with God. And you don't see it. You can't see it. He knoweth not that it's for his life. This is the danger of flattery. You hear flattery, just say yourself, this is poison. Okay? You got that? You hear flattery, this is poison. Don't confuse flattery, however, with edification. Edification builds you in the soul, in the spirit. And ultimately, it will build your soul. Edification builds you in who you are in Christ and draws you near to Him. Flattery will build you who you are in the natural man and draw you away from God. Now, a little bit about what is a right relationship. How does this look? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. So the first thing in a right relationship is it's an entrusting of the gospel, and it's a fellowship that is based in and frequently around the Word of God. There's a right relationship. So I ask you young people, the people, and maybe you've had this and maybe you haven't, but if you have had this, the person who is flattering you, is it they're building you around the Word of God? I bet you they're not. They may have a little bit of vocabulary, but is it drawing you near to Christ, or is it drawing you after something like a lust pattern, or something like trying to find a fulfillment, or something like trying to satisfy a self-image, or something where you're trying to find some sort of fulfillment or completion apart from God? Even so, we speak not as pleasing men. You see, the person who is really your friend isn't really going to say things just to make you feel good. They might say things that sting. They might say things that outright convict, and you might outright get mad at them for it. But they're looking out for your soul. A carnal man will not look out for your soul. A carnal man may make it sound good as he's leading you away from God. Hey, Eve, you're going to be as God, knowing good from evil. Sounds great. Isn't this godly? Isn't this of God? No, it really isn't. It really isn't. Not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, or as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. We didn't try to hide the fact that we're lusting behind a cloak of flattery. That's what he's saying. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So the person who is your friend, they may say things that are difficult for you to hear. They may give you the wounds of a friend, but they are gentle toward you as a nursing mother. They are feeding and nourishing your soul, even sometimes with that which is difficult. They are looking out for your well-being. They are not looking out for a self-interest. They are looking out for you. They're not saying, "Oh, I think you're the best thing since popcorn. You're so pretty, so handsome, so strong, so sexy," whatever it happens to be. Sometimes they may, "Hey, you know, that's not really a smart idea." Do you think it is easy to say that to people when you know they're going to be mad at you for it? But they say it anyway. By the way, young folks, this is how you know that your parents or your pastor love you. They'll tell you what you don't want to hear. And then, when you react at them, and you get mad at them, or you scream at them, or maybe you just stop talking to them, they love you anyway. They don't kick you out of the house, they don't kick you out of the church, they don't say, "Beat it, bye, forget it, I've had, you know," they might say, "I had enough of your attitude" from time to time, but you know, they usually have a reason. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll say, "Yeah, it's true." They might say something like that, but they'll still take care of you. They still have you in their home. They still love you. You're still part of their family. They still want you there. This is how you can tell they love you. You get it from your pastor and he still says, "Hey, come on, I'm not really happy to see you," or he might give you a hug or whatever it is. Even though you got mad at him last week, 2 months ago, whatever, didn't talk or whatever, he still loves you. He's your friend. He's being your friend, and so are your parents. He's being your friend even if you don't realize it or recognize it. He's being your friend. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel. So the friend imparts, one, the gospel. The friend is imparting to you the word of God. Folks, here's your acid test. Are they somehow imparting to you the Word of God or the principles of the Word of God? There's your acid test. If they are, they may be a friend. If they are not, you know they're not a friend. Are they building your relationship to the Savior? Are they drawing you nearer to Christ? That's your friend. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil and laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. There's your friend. You want to know who your friend is? It's right there. There's your friend. You see, this is different than flattery. In Proverbs 12:3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. This is different than flattery. In Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. The law is talking about the Word of God. Commandment is talking about conviction. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That wound of a friend is a way of life. Not lifestyle, but it gives life. It imparts life. You guys get this? It gives life. To keep thee from the evil woman, again, the one who would entice you into ungodliness, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. That's why correction comes. Proverbs 7:4 says, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Like doctrine protects you. The mind of Christ protects you. By the way, young people, learn how to receive the Word of God every day. Because if you don't, you'll have absolutely no ability to stand in the warfare. Your shield comes by it, your sword comes by it, the whole rest of the armor comes by the Word of God. It's like Pastor Stephen said, if you don't have the mind of Christ, you're deceived already. It's not that you will become deceived, you already are. Proverbs 13:20. Listen to this one carefully. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. The companion of those people who do not have God's wisdom will be destroyed. But the person who makes a friend of those who are wise will become wise also. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous should choose his friend carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. The wicked is the one who goes contrary to the Word of God. So the righteous chooses his friend carefully. They do not choose their friend according to flattery. How many young people, you guys have all seen this if you're in public school, for certain you have seen it. You get some guy or some girl and they look at some guy or some girl, hey, he's cute or she's good looking, and they want to be their friend simply on that? That's a fool. That's what it's talking about. The fool. This is the fool you want to avoid. That's the fool. By the way, if anybody wants to come to you just based on your personality or just based on your looks, and somebody wants to make a friendship with you on the basis of those things, that person is a fool. Hey, you know what? You guys are good-looking young people. But you know what? You're one accident from not being so good-looking. How much stock do you want to put in that? Don't tell yourself it won't happen. Everyone tells themselves it won't happen who that happens to. Right, you guys are a good looking bunch of people. Put no stock in it. It means nothing. Hey, you think you have to get all dudeed up in order for somebody to like you or to be appealing to them? That's the companion of a fool. You don't want to go there. You know why? Because if that's what you're leaning on, God is a jealous God. If that's what you're leaning on, He just might take away your good looks so that you will lean on God instead. Don't think it won't happen. I know people that's happened to. Be careful. Your good looks, your good personality, your good personality is one good bump of the head away. It really is. Slip on some ice, whack your head, there goes your good personality. Why? Because a little bit of a change in the brain will change your good personality. You don't think it can happen? A little bump on the head killed Natasha Richardson. You don't think it can happen to you? You ever fall down? Have you ever been in a car accident? Has your car ever lost control? Whether you're driving or somebody else, have you ever been in a car that's lost control? Have you ever been in a kitchen and the pan catches fire and just kind of shoots up? Everybody has. It's by the grace of God it didn't go in your face. Hey, if you think you're relying on your good looks, you're relying on absolutely nothing. You're relying on a vapor. Your good looks don't make you. But the person who comes to you on the basis of your good personality or your good looks, that person is a fool. The Bible says so. It's not my opinion, it's God's opinion. Hey, you know what? You think that person would like you so much if all of a sudden your face was completely distorted and you lost your nose and a half of your jaw and maybe one of your eyes? Would you be that appealing to them then? I guarantee you, 99,999 times out of 100,000, you wouldn't be. You know what? Person's a fool. It wasn't real. No friendship there, really. Trying to purchase something, that's all. That's all it is. Little bit of a lust pattern. That's all it was. Because you happen to be a nice looking young person. That's all it was. You put your stock in that, and you put your stock in vapor. Don't be surprised if that's where your portion is, if God takes it away. But hey, you think some person that is not even God, that says, oh, I think you're so beautiful, I think you're all that and a bag of chips, you have such a wonderful person, you give me butterflies. Yeah? Take away half your face. See what the butterflies are like then. Hey guys, what happens if you end up in a wheelchair? You think the girl's still going to like you? Don't think it can't happen. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. Hey, Proverbs 17:17a, a friend loves at all times. This is a friend. In 1 Samuel 20:42, then Jonathan said to David, go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, may the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever. So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Hey, there's your friend. The one that you have Christ between you. There's your friend. The one where you have Christ between you. Not mutual things, not mutual interests, not I think she's good looking, I think he's good looking, let's get together and kind of tantalize each other's flesh and lust patterns even though we won't sleep together. No, that's not your friend. The one where Christ is between you is your friend. That's your friend. Young people, you got that? That's your friend. The one where Christ is between you, that's your friend. You got that? That's your friend. The one that loves God, you love God, and you're 100% sold out to God, and they're 100% sold out to God, and you want nothing apart from God's will, and they want nothing apart from God's will, that's your friend. And that's how your friendship is. That's your friend. That's your friend. In Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. The friend does not tell you what you want to hear. The friend tells you what you need to hear as he receives it from the Holy Spirit, not from his natural ability to reason things out. That's your friend. Get this one, young people. Proverbs 22:11. He who loves purity of heart. In other words, not the little secret subtle lust pattern that go, ooh, butterflies. That's not purity of heart. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. God will be his friend. You know who you want as your friends? The ones who God is their friend. Really, the ones that God is their friend. Listen to this, John 15:14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. That's your friend. The one who's a friend of Christ, the one who's a friend of God, that's your friend. That's your friend. You don't have a different friend. The other one is an illusion. It's a deception. You don't have another friend. In Exodus 33:11a, this is the person you want as your friend. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. There it is. The one that's talking to God and God is talking to him, not in imaginations of subjectivity, but in truth, in the purity, and the still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to the human spirit. That's your friend. That's your friend. The one where James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted for him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That's your friend. Don't make for yourselves friends of those who are not friends of God. You guys are at school, or maybe you're in college. Be careful about that. Watch out for the flattery. The flattery is bad news. The flattery is a deception from someone who's trying to lure you through soul power by manipulating things like your emotions or your identity or your volition or your intellect. That's soul power. That's not friendship. Soul power is dangerous stuff. That's how Satan reached Eve. And he used flattery to do it. Folks, be very careful about your friends. If you want to have friends where you have to compromise the purity, not only of your body, but of your own mind and your own heart, where it draws a lust rather than the love of God, where it draws you away from God rather than towards you, that's no friendship at all. But you get somebody who builds you, who loves God, who is a friend to God, and they build you, and they draw you closer to the Savior, that's your friend. Do you understand? That's your friend. The other is a snare. But your friend will always draw you to God. Not to himself so much, but to God. And though you may have a close relationship with a person, it's about God. It's always about God. And He's the one that's between you. And though you may share your thoughts or your heart with a friend, but Christ never leaves being between you. You got something without Christ between you, you have something that is not a friendship. Understand? That's not a friendship. That kind of stuff damages you. But something that builds you in the Word of God, in your heart toward God, someone who draws you closer to Christ, that's your friend. Not in your emotions, but in truth. By the way, friendships are never based on emotions. You understand that? Friendships are never based on emotions. They are based on His Word. And His Word alone. And the Spirit of God applying it to two hearts. Amen?